faithful Jewish people tried to live by the Torah, the laws of Moses. But try to remember and follow 613 precepts, 248 commandments, and 365 prohibitions. Woo! In Jesus' time, the scribes, the legal scholars, were trying to find a guiding principle that Jewish people could follow that would help them keep all of these laws. So the scribes questioned to Jesus in the gospel about what's the greatest commandment. Wasn't that unusual? But Jesus' answer sure was, Jesus is the only one who weaved together love of God and love of neighbor and said that linked together, it's the greatest commandment, the essence of the Torah. Now, two significant consequences result from this greatest commandment. The first is that this greatest commandment Jesus gives us has nothing to do with external religious practices. It's based on what's in our heart. He summarizes the laws of Moses in our internal drive to love, our internal disposition, not on ritual observances. And the scribe who asked Jesus the question agrees. The genuineness of someone's faith isn't determined by outward religious practices and rituals. It's the love in our hearts that's most important. Love is the key to obeying all of the laws. Jesus knew that God is love and the source of all of our love. And God's dream for us is that we share the love God has put in us. And Jesus recognized that love is behind every religious law. Every religious law is an expression of our love for God. The second significant consequence of this teaching is that we can't say we love God apart from loving our neighbor. If someone claims to love God, that can be verified in the visible way they treat their neighbor. So how much we love our neighbor is the image, the picture of how much we love God. The proof of how much we love God is how much we act like God, showing kindness, compassion, mercy, and forgiveness to others, treating others with respect and honor, being generous and selfless in charity. Now, having said all this, truth be told, most of us do not love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, or love our neighbor as ourselves. It's like G.K. Chesterton wrote, "The Bible tells us to love our neighbors and also to love our enemies, probably because generally they're the same people." We have some love for God and neighbor, but not the depth Jesus is discussing. Our only hope isn't our willpower. It's Jesus. Jesus is the Savior who came to rescue us from our failures to obey this most important commandment. Jesus wants to rescue us, but we have to ask for it. We have to humbly acknowledge our shortcomings in love, in prayer, to own up that we love God and neighbor, but need to deepen our love. Ask God to accept our imperfect love and to deepen it with Jesus' help and grace so we can be better Christian lovers. Ask for God's grace to help us love people who don't belong to our political party, to love people who have let us down or hurt us, to love the know-it-alls we have to deal with, to love the complainers we'd rather avoid, to love some of the family members we didn't choose. And God will help us. We just celebrated All Saints Day and All Souls Day with their message that we are God's prized creation, that God really wants us to be with Him for eternity. We need God's grace, Jesus' help, to increase our capacity to love. God created us to love and be loved, to participate in His life, and with Him to love all other people. Apply this greatest commandment Jesus gives us to the gifts God has given each of us, no matter how many or how few. That's the blueprint for us to build up the kingdom of God. And you don't have to look very far for a way to love our neighbor as ourselves. Bishop Berg has asked all of us priests to read a letter from him to you. Dear parishioners, the United States bishops are joining together in a commitment of prayer and reparation leading up to the Bishops' General Assembly, where we will be making critical decisions in response to the clergy sexual abuse crisis. With my brother bishops across the nation, I will be dedicating myself to 7 days of intensified prayer and fasting from Monday, November 5th through Sunday, November 11th. The intentions for this period of prayer and sacrifice are threefold: for the healing and support of all victims of clergy sexual abuse, for the conversion and just punishment of the perpetrators and concealers of sexual abuse, and for the strength of the bishops to be holy shepherds in protecting and leading our sheep from all harm. If you feel called to do so, you are welcome to join me in praying for these intentions. I would also be grateful for any prayers for me and my brother bishops during our General Assembly, that we may follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit in responding to the tragedy of clergy sexual abuse in the church. Please be assured of my prayers for you as well. Sincerely in Christ, Most Reverend Stephen J. Berg, Bishop of Pueblo.